Well, our opening hymn this morning was, can you remember? Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And the Irish Anglican clergyman who wrote that hymn, John Mossell, he wrote it because he wants us to praise God. Yeah? He wants us to celebrate and to rejoice in the fact of this Resurrection Sunday morning. In other words, in the light of what happened on that first Resurrection Sunday morning, we are to rejoice. We are to praise the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. We are to sing his praises. Hallelujah. And I want to be a bit awkward this morning and ask the question, why? Why? Why should we rejoice in Easter Resurrection Sunday morning? What is it about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that should invoke such a reaction from us? Is it just because someone died, but now he's alive again? I'm sure there are folk we know and we'd love to see them again. There are family and friends who have died, and I'm sure that if they could somehow be raised to life again for us to see them, for us to hear their voice again, then yes, that would be something to celebrate, yeah? Something to rejoice over. Is that why Christians are to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because a good man died, but now he's alive again. So, yes, let's praise the Lord. Is that solely it? Well, that's part of it. That's part of it, yes. But much, much more than that. Christians celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus because, well, primarily for what it means for them personally. How Christ, having risen from the dead, what that now means to them, how they now benefit from that. Benefiting now in the present, today, but also in the future when they die. So why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ invoke such a reaction of rejoicing? I hope you are rejoicing if you're a Christian this morning. Why does it invoke such an emotion, a response of happiness and joy from God's people? Well, first of all, we rejoice this morning because the resurrection of Jesus confirms for us his identity. When you read the Gospels, you see there often how the Lord Jesus was referred to as simply Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, that's where he came from. I'm David of Felling, or whatever, you know. That's where I come from. Jesus of Nazareth, that's where his family lived. So, for example, when he came home to his hometown and preached in their synagogue, the people's reaction, that showed how they viewed Jesus. Jesus was merely just another local lad. Matthew 13:55. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Jesus had an earthly blood family, as it were, there in Nazareth with him. To the crowds that followed Jesus, Jesus was just a prophet from Nazareth, an ordinary local Jew like one of them, except he had a message from God, except he had a power, clearly a power from God. And yet, again and again, through what he did and through what he said, Jesus was pointing people to his true identity. For example, when he turned the water into wine, that was a sign that showed his true glory. It was a sign that indicated his true identity. Or when he walked on the water and came to his disciples who were stranded out there in the middle of the sea. Or when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus didn't merely do those things for the benefit of those he did them for. But he was saying something. They were signs, they were signposts, pointing those who were looking to realizing that this man from Nazareth actually really was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the one and only Son sent from heaven to save sinners. And so when Jesus rose from the grave, when he who died rose again to life, that was the ultimate sign to show us who Jesus truly is. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, he tells them in chapter 1, he says, in his earthly life, Jesus was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, as we sing the third verse of Glory to Jesus, or Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, we sing in the third verse, no more we doubt thee. Do you see what that verse means? No more do we doubt you, glorious Prince of life. What is life without you? Aid us in our strife. Friends, we can rejoice in this risen Savior this morning, because now there are no more uncertainties about who he really is. He is the glorious Prince of life. He is the risen conquering Son. He is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's no uncertainty anymore. He is as he claimed to be. Secondly, we can rejoice this morning because of what Paul tells us there in our reading, Romans 4:25. He says there, he, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We can rejoice this morning because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our justification. Now, what does that mean? What did Paul mean by that term, our justification? He means our right standing before God. He means that God now should no longer view us as guilty sinners, but now regard us as righteous. God should now regard us as being good enough in his sight. So how can God do that then? How can a holy God who cannot tolerate sin or sinners anywhere near him, how can he now look at us and say, I view you now and I'll treat you now as righteous people, as people good enough for me? How does he do that? Well, Paul tells us that in the first part of that verse. He, Jesus, was delivered over or delivered up to death for our sins. God delivered over. When you look at that word in the original, it conveys God handing over. He delivered, like a postman delivers the post, yeah? He puts it away. He gives it away. God gave his own dear son into the hands of those who he knew would abuse him, who he knew would crucify him. God intentionally did that in order for Jesus to pay for all our sins. The penalty for our sin is death, physical death, now an eternal death in hell. But the Bible tells us that God so loved this world of guilty sinners. He so loves you and me that he gave his one and only Son. He delivered his Son over to bear the punishment that you and I deserve, to face the penalty of our sin, to die the death that we should face. The fact that Jesus took our place, this is the whole concept of the substitute. The person who takes the place of another. God sent his Son, who willingly came, by the way. He sent his Son to be our substitute. He sent his Son to take our place, to bear our punishment in himself. God did that. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that because he loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He did it out of love to save us, to rescue us from our sin. Jesus was delivered over on that awful cross, given up to die for all our sin, for all our trespasses. So when we think of Good Friday, you might ask, well, what's so good about Good Friday? It's good not because someone died. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But it's good because Jesus died to spare us the punishment of hell. And that's good. It's good for us. It's brilliant for us. Brilliant Friday. Fantastic Friday. Because we're now rescued from hell because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He died and was raised for our justification. When Christ was raised from the dead, that was God's way of giving his approval to what Jesus did. That was God's way of showing his acceptance of what Jesus did on that cross. By raising Jesus from the dead, God was in effect saying, your work is now complete. It's finished. That's why Jesus could say, it is finished. It's all been taken care of now. I'm totally satisfied with everything you did, Jesus, to pay for the sins of your people. I don't know if you've ever seen some sort of bill, and across the front of it, in big red lettering, are the words paid in full. Paid in full. And you know what that means, don't you? It means it's all been taken care of. Somebody's paid the bill. It's all been dealt with. Your debt has been settled, and now there is nothing outstanding on your account. When Christ was raised from the dead, God stamped paid in full on the bill for sin. The bill for all who will believe in Jesus Christ. In other words, there was no more penalty for sin to be paid. There was no more wrath of God to face. There was no more condemnation for God's people. There was no more guilt, no more liability, no more punishment for all who will believe. Jesus Christ really has fully satisfied what the Father required of him. And so those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus, those of us who are trusting in him, those of us who are depending upon Jesus for our salvation, God now reckons us. He now views us as righteous. He now views us as good enough in his sight, not because of what we do, not because of our own efforts to try and earn his approval, not because of what we might call good works. God views us as righteous and good enough because of the good work Jesus did. When he worked, when he suffered and died on that cross, it's all because of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with us, apart from our sin, of course. But what we contribute is simply our confession of sin and our repentance from sin and our faith towards Jesus Christ. God reckoned all my guilt, all my sin to Jesus, and Jesus died for it. And now God reckons all Jesus' goodness and all his rightness to me, to any who believe. So that now he views me, he treats me now in Christ as good enough. And I know I'm not good enough. I know I could never be good enough, but that's all right. Jesus makes sinners good enough for heaven. And that's why Christians rejoice this morning that Christ is risen, because his resurrection affirms our salvation. His resurrection ensures for us everything we hope for as sinners. That's the sentiment of the third verse to our opening hymn. Christ is risen. We shall never into hell's dark regions fall. Why? We are Christ's. In him forever, we have triumphed over all. Do you see that, friends? How we can benefit so much from all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. His victory over sin and death becomes our victory when we believe on him, when we depend upon him for our salvation. So let me ask you, are you able to rejoice like that this morning? Are you really able to rejoice like that this morning? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus? Are you depending upon the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation? The third and final reason why Christians rejoice this Easter morning is because Christ's resurrection ensures our resurrection. In several places in the New Testament, you find there how our future resurrection as believers, that is connected with Christ's resurrection, what happened that first morning. For example, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, by his power God raised the Lord Jesus, from the dead, and he will raise us also. Or 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. You see, the fact is, and this is the fact that we just can't avoid this morning. The fact is that we exist in a world where death also exists. Whether it's in a bed at the Freeman Hospital, or in the Royal Victoria Infirmary, or it's on a battlefield somewhere, but we cannot escape death. We can certainly try and put it off a bit longer. We exercise. We don't eat too much of a certain kind of foods. We eat as much as we can of other kinds of foods. We take our pills every day just to try and live a bit longer. But eventually death comes to all of us. I just checked this morning on the website. Newcastle Council say they manage 10 cemeteries. Gateshead Council look after 11 cemeteries. We just can't get away from it. There's a cemetery at the end of my road where I live now. There, it's everywhere. Our world is riddled with death. And the reason that death exists in this world is because our sin exists in this world. Paul writes in the very next chapter here, Romans 5, verse 12. He says, just as sin entered the world through one man, through Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. How we die may well vary for each of us. Some will die young, some will die older, some will die from disease, some will die from old age, some might be murdered. The method of death may vary between us. But the fundamental reason for why we die, the governing principle for why we die, is the exact same for all of us. We will die because of sin. Personal sin, but also inherent sin from Adam. Our world is riddled with death. Even Christians cannot escape death. That is the reality of this broken world. Even Christians will have to experience the pain of death, the sadness of death. But what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means to Christians is that whilst one day we will die, yet another day we shall live again. Scripture describes us as falling asleep when we die. We simply fall asleep. A Christian soul will go to be with the Lord when he or she dies, but their body is described as being asleep. They're asleep in their grave. And the Bible uses that description to point to the fact that one day that body will be, as it were, woken up. They'll be awakened again. One day their body will be raised up, not like it was as it went in, but it will come out as a perfect body. It'll come out as a body that's fit to experience eternity. Eternity in a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more sin and no more death. One glorious day when the already resurrected Jesus Christ returns, then on that day, all Christians who have died trusting in Jesus, whether you're male or female, whether you're a boy or a girl, but all who have died depending upon Jesus Christ, they too will be raised to new and eternal life because of Jesus Christ. That's our hope as believers. I remember taking a funeral of a dear friend, and I was stood in the graveyard, and we had had our little service around the open grave, and I stood back. I just allowed the family to come and mourn, and as I stood there watching the family mourn, I just felt so angry. It had never hit me before. I just felt such anger over death. I was angry at the devil. I was angry that we lived in a world in which there is death, in which there is sadness, to see my friends all grieving and comforting one another. I remember thinking, if the devil was there, I would have punched him right there and then. I was so angry. But the Lord came and just reminded me, David, one day things will be different. We live today sighing. We live today still at times heavy-hearted because we live in a world of death. We live in a world of hospitals and graveyards. But because Jesus lives, that is our encouragement in these days, that one day all of that will be gone. One day people will be raised to new life again. Friends will be reunited. You know, your grandfather or your grandmother who died believing in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, you'll see them again one day. It's wonderful. Your friends, I'll see my friend again one day. I know that. And that gives us hope. That gives us the strength and the courage, and it empowers us to say, though we grieve, yet we can rejoice still because of Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection. Christians, we may have to face death unless the Lord comes beforehand. We may have to go through the physical experience of death, and that may well concern us. But Jesus has removed the sting of death for us. He conquered death for us. So we know that when we close our eyes in this world, we open them again on him. We know that when we close our eyes in this world, we know that one day, he who so loved us, he died for us. One day, one glorious day, he will raise us up with him to be with him forever. That is why we are rejoicing this morning. Because the resurrection reminds us of, it affirms, it confirms, it settles all the doubts as to who this person is. He is Christ the Lord. We celebrate today because his death and resurrection affirms for us all our sin has been taken care of. Our past, our present, our future. For those who believe, mind, only for those who believe. And his resurrection affirms for us our future resurrection. That one day, though we die, yet shall we live again. So can I ask you again, are you able to rejoice like that this morning? Are you this morning trusting in Jesus? Are you this morning depending upon him who left heaven and went to the cross to rescue you from hell? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. May God turn stubborn hearts this morning, that by faith you would run to the tomb and see and believe and be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this good news.